Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you are rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it's a final score. Brewers besting the Cubs this afternoon, 4-1. That final score just locked in. That puts the Brewers at 80 wins with 48 losses on the season and a whopping 7 games ahead of those dastardly Chicago Cubs. Cubs fans, you got your L flag? Why didn't you start flying that a little proudly? That was a wild series. 5 games, 4 days. Brewers took 2 of those 5. The other 3, good news for the Brewers, incredibly close outings for the most part with lots of bright spots coming from both Brewers defense and offense. If you missed my interview with Brewers Chief of Operations and President Rick Schlesinger yesterday, you can find that everywhere you find your favorite podcasts at and also at civicmedia.us/shows. Had a really nice time talking with Rick yesterday afternoon. We'll keep you posted on all Brewers updates here, as I am a wee bit of a baseball fanatic. Other breaking news this afternoon, President Donald Trump is now demanding the release of a former Colorado County elections official who was sentenced to prison last year after being found guilty of charges connected to sneaking someone into her office to search for evidence to try to prove Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was stolen. Posting on Truth Social today, Trump said, "Free Tina Peters, a brave and innocent patriot who has been tortured by crooked Colorado politicians." If he means indicted and prosecuted and convicted by a jury of her peers for something that was obviously completely illegal, which was evidenced by the fact that she tried to hide the person that she was sneaking in, he should feel bad that Tina Peters is in prison. She believed Donald Trump's lies about 2020 and it landed her in prison. These are state-based charges. Again, that's why he can't pardon her, because I'm pretty sure that would have been done alongside all those J6 pardons as well. Welcome back to the show, Jack Ekblad, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor. Jack, you and I have talked frequently about all manner of party dynamics. The Democratic Party, it seems to be on tilt, to borrow a phrase from pinball. Fundraising down, at least at the DNC level, party membership rolls, folks not identifying as Democrats, as reported earlier this week, I believe, by the Washington Post. All of this in part revealing not just Democrats wondering how to respond to an election won by someone who is so fundamentally unfit to be even dog catcher, it stuns the mind and shocks the conscience, but how to bridge this, I don't know, sometimes it seems like a gulf within folks that may be amongst folks that may be inclined to support the Democratic Party, meaning the left or more progressive wing and some of the more centrist Democrats. And we need independent and swing voters. And I think some conservatives of good faith who know that Donald Trump ain't the guy that they want leading this country. How do we make this work in 2026, Jack? How do we bridge the gulf?
Well, you know, I come at this with a certain unique experience, Maggie. I became a political organizer 17 years ago in West Bend, Wisconsin, which is not the most Republican place. It's the most conservative place in the state of Wisconsin, arguably. And then went on to work on campaigns around the state in places like Beloit, where we got the first openly gay member of the Beloit City Council elected. I worked in Queens, but the parts of Queens, New York that voted for Trump, where Trump's actually from. And so our job was always to translate progressive policies and values to folks who never wanted the label. And frankly, that's what the progressive movement has always been about. And what we need now, I think, in the Democratic Party, there's a place for activists, but we really need organizers. And I think our challenge has been that we've been using those two terms interchangeably. And it's not to deride either one, but as an organizer, our job is to grow rooms, to build networks, not to hold a label over people, but to tell a story that expresses values in a way that makes room for people to get behind them. You know, we talked about housing. There isn't anyone of any political stripe other than the ultra wealthy who aren't dealing with housing issues right now. When we talk about healthcare, there's no one but the ultra wealthy who's not dealing with healthcare issues right now. And I think we have in the Democratic Party a really compelling story to tell. And I think people are hungry for positive, progressive values, even if we take out the progressive for the sake of the conversation.
Yeah, this is where I really think some care and attention needs to be placed, meaning engagement with people who may disagree with portions of a very progressive platform. That has to be a thing for Democrats and for any candidate that actually wants to win. You cannot litmus test your supporters or people that want to stand with you in that way. And I think that we've got, you know, as I look at the panoply of candidates that may be running for governor, I think to myself, good Lord, I hope the ones that are a little left of the dial don't engage in intra-party bloodshed in their zeal for these values that I think many even, I've never had a discussion or very rarely had a discussion with a super progressive lefty where the underlying value is at all disputed, or even perhaps the end result. I'm not the folks that actually believe that police departments should be dismantled, I think are wing nuts and completely divorced from reality. But other than that,
self-defeating rhetoric.
It really is. And like, you're not listening to the communities anyway, But I really think that we need to be much more willing to see the value in some of these other viewpoints. What do you want voters in Wisconsin, you got about 30 seconds, to be thinking about as we enter into 2026?
I want them to be thinking about their neighbors. I want them to be thinking about how we're present for our neighbors. And for anyone who's hesitant about incremental change, I would remind them that all change is incremental, evolution first and foremost.
Folks, that is Jack Ekblad. Jack will be back soon to talk with me. We got to think the big thoughts together, Jack. He's a Milwaukee County Board Supervisor for District 4. Speaking of gubernatorial candidates, we review the field as it stands today with political editor Dan Schaefer next, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, folks.